let's do it. So it's the administration committee meeting of Wednesday, October 18th, 2017, 6 p.m. here at City Hall. I have myself, Alderman Milchewski. I'm going to say it right, Alderman Hernandez.
Yes.
Alderman Blocher. Said that one right too. And who are you down there? Alderman Funkhauser.
You better get down.
And Stan. So do we have any citizens' comments? Would you like to make any comment? No. Okay. We have minutes for correction of approval from September 20th, 2017. Any comments, corrections? Are we good? So we will accept them?
Yes.
Let's go on to new business one, administration 2017-71, monthly budget report for September 2017.
Okay. Sales taxes are our big one. The $274,000 number there in the September report is for the July state receipts, so that's June consumer purchases. That is usually our other peak month other than the Christmas holiday. So we had anticipated actually $283,000 in sales for that month.
A slump.
And it's alarming in that it's the first time we've missed by close to four digits in three years.
Ooh.
So, and that could just be that month was different than historical estimates, or it could be an indicator of the overall regional economy. So it's something we're tracking at this point. The good news is that we're still on pace to meet our budget number. It's just we had been seeing close to almost double-digit growth, and so year over year, compared to last year, we're actually down 10% from month to month. So that could just be that last year was, you know,
an exceptional year.
Yeah, an exceptional year, and that it's down from historical averages. But it is something we are monitoring.
What happens if this trend continues at this rate?
Well, if we start to fall behind actual budget estimates, then you know we'll consider how much we're trending different, whether there are other revenues that are picking up the slack, and then make some decisions accordingly. So the good news is you know, I'm probably famous last words, but you know, we've been through this 10 years ago. We thought about everything we could on both sides of the ledger, and so I'm pretty comfortable with going through that process again. And making tough decisions if we have to. But I don't see this as being any larger issue. Usually municipal revenues actually trail national economic indicators. So you usually see the downturn first, and then our revenues start to fall off after that. So this might just be a blip in the road, could be in a larger
sense. Was it a bad spring and nobody was at Home Depot buying yard stuff?
Well, the June peaks are building materials related, and so the fact that we've had a lot of building permits, even more so than the prior year, maybe it means somebody switched suppliers and they're not buying it in town anymore. Maybe they're going out of town. It could have been that there were so many people that maybe they bought them all at once, brought them, you know, bought them in bulk last year, and so that's why it's different. So we won't know that ever really definitively, but we might have a better idea in 3 or 4 months from now when we see the store data to see if, you know, Home Depot or Menards or something had a little bit of a dip, and maybe that's just the cause for it. So we're on top of it. We saw it, and it was a little surprising, but we'll see what happens.
Any other comments or questions on the report? We good? Okay. Let's go on to two, admin 2017-72, the monthly treasurer's report for September of 2017.
Beginning fund balance of $13,642,346. Year-to-date revenues of $14,974,734. Year-to-date expenses of $12,870,327. For a projected ending fund balance of $15,746,753.
Comments or questions on our treasurer's report? Okay, very good. Number three, admin 2017-73, the cash statement for August 2017.
That information was always, we got the cash summary on the first page and our investment summary on the second page.
Comments, questions? Okay. Let's go on to four, admin 2017-74, bills for payment. Comments or questions on the bill list? We're good? Okay. 6, admin 2017-76 meeting schedule for 2018. Comments or questions on there? What are dates?
No.
Okay, we're good on that. 7, admin 2017-77 annual treasurer's report. Let's go. Big report.
Yeah. The annual treasury report, treasurer's report, excuse me, it's same as always, summary statement of operations. Shows all the receipts that we took in for the year, being fiscal year 2017 for the various funds. Breaks payroll out in $25,000 increment chunks, and shows all the vendors that the city paid throughout the course of the fiscal year over $2,500. So I will present this at admin, present it at the next council meeting, and then we'll print it in a local paper, probably Kendall County Record, by the end of the month, pursuant to state statute.
Comments or questions on this?
Did we skip the website report?
Yeah.
I think we did.
Did I miss the website? Oh, we'll go back to that one.
I want to talk about pilot.
That's okay. We'll go back to 5. And nothing on the annual treasurer's report? So it goes on the regular agenda? You're going to do the... Okay. So let's go back to 5. Sorry, I can't count today.
That's all right.
Admin 2017-75 monthly website report for September 2017.
So we've changed around the look of the report actually this month, and we're reporting on a little bit more on social media moving forward. So for our total visits, you can see where we're ranking by month, and this is for 2017. Our high months are July, around the 4th of July. One of our highest hits is always the 4th of July celebration and the fireworks. You see our unique returning and total visits for the month of September. We are up from August once again, and September, our big hit is usually hometown days, depending on where it falls between August and September. You can see the graph on the visits by time of day. We peak in the afternoon, not so great around midnight, 2 in the morning. But we use this as a tool to gauge when we should schedule our posts, because we do schedule most of our posts and put out tweets. So this is a helpful tool for staff to use on when we should be putting things out there. Our highest visits day are Friday, Saturday, Sunday, weekend. And then we go into the website statistics of the top pages visited, download, searches, and then the website refers, or where people find our information and then click on that from there. So you see in September that hometown days is kind of ruling the roost other than jobs, and we have had quite a few job postings in September and of course this month as well. We wanted to include City and Park and Rec Facebook statistics and data information, because we do a lot of updates within social media as well as Twitter. So you see that the total page followers on the city Facebook page is right around 3,400, and then our Parks and Rec is 1,800. We're starting to share a lot more from each other so that people can see that there are two different Facebook sites and there are sometimes different content on each. So we're hoping that people like both of those sites in the future. The highest viewed post on the Parks and Rec was the Yorkville Pumpkin Pole, being just 2 weeks away. The weather wasn't wonderful for that, but it still did get a lot of likes and comments leading up to it. And the highest viewed post on the city side was that we are hiring, and we do most of our outreach and our marketing through Facebook for our new hires, and that seems to be working out really well for us in not getting so much blanket applications back, but applications that people really want to work here and committed to public service. So that's very helpful for us. Any other questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Are you, you talked about using Google Analytics. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're using now?
I can use both. Yep, okay, we signed up in August. So this was our first full month that we've received a full 30 days of Google Analytics. We use PWIC through our website as well. It's the same information, and I did compare to make sure that they were grabbing the same numbers. So it is the same numbers, it's just the charts are a little bit different.
So the numbers are identical?
Not identical, okay. But pretty darn close. There are some nuances, but we're not hundreds off or anything like that. Okay. And then also the page searches were almost nearly the same.
One question on the search is, if you go back to page, one of the search items in all 3 months is the word true.
So if you Google true, which I have done.
But this is a search through our site, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it right along here because I forgot what it was off the top of my head. But if you Google true,
through search.
It is for people. So you can search for people that way, and then you can also do different removals through there as well. So people are kind of trolling, I guess is the best word for it.
Trolling through the city page.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there's a lot of information on the page still that's, unless you search for it, you never see it.
Correct.
And it's all that hidden information, so maybe that's part of what they're pulling through some of that older
information. Email and other stuff like that is available that way.
It's interesting that Bing is the number two website referrer.
That's one of the questions we ask. But that is
because I don't use Google anymore.
And that's one of the questions I'm interested in when we do interviews for applicants on what search engine is their preferred search engine. And Bing is a top one for people stating it anyways in interviews.
When you post on here, do you go on Twitter? Do you go separate? Or
everyone is individual.
There's, and I just went out of my head, we use it at school. Mm-hmm. There's actually one that you post once and it'll send it to all three.
Yeah.
We just start using it so that we don't, so we hit like, we hit Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Sure.
So we have Facebook and Twitter only.
And I think you can pick and just do that.
You can. I know in the past we've looked at tailoring each one of them differently to kind of speak more to the audience for each social media platform. So, you know, the Twitter posts are obviously a lot shorter, but then we usually have a little bit different tone with them.
Yeah,
too.
That's true.
So,
you can't put the length on there, so that wouldn't work.
Yep.
Yeah. It's
do you guys have, I'm sorry.
No.
Do you guys have Webmaster Tools set up in Bing?
Okay. I do not. If you want to send me any information on that, I can look it up.
Just Bing.
Sure.
Just use Bing and just look up Bing Webmaster Tools.
Okay.
And you should be able to set all that up, and that should give you some more data as far as to where your traffic from Bing is coming from.
Sounds good.
And give you more analytics.
Well, that's super helpful. I'll look into that.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Okay. So let's go to 8, Admin 2017-77, the tax levy estimate.
So Rob's got a nice long memo in there. For purposes of keeping it simple, we have to set the tax levy estimate, so those are dollar amounts, and then we adopt those at a city council meeting in the future. That allows us to then hold a public hearing on those tax levy amounts, which then allows us to vote on the tax levy amounts at a later date. The higher the dollar amount is at the actual public hearing, you can always ratchet down the actual tax levy afterwards. There are some interesting policy considerations for us this year. Because this is the first year we have not communicated that we would do a property tax decrease. And so the question is, do you want to increase his taxes at all? And if so, should we capture inflation, new construction, or both? And whether we want to continue to levy separately from the library, which is what we had started to do last year. So the recommendation in the memo is that we would, in general, set the tax levy estimates in the amounts in the second column on the last page of Rob's memo. So you've got city levy capped amount of $3,330,779 and library based on their own recommendations at $1,464,606. So it's a $672,000 or so operational levy for them. Hold a public hearing on that at a later date, and then decide if we want to levy less than that. So I think at the goal setting, I briefly mentioned that I think our recommendation would be, you know, maybe to ease ourselves back into an inflationary increase plus a CPI increase, to ask for what we got last year plus new construction only, which is a jump of about $64,000 in extra revenue. So theoretically, you've got all this new tax property coming onto the rolls, and so as long as your individual house has not increased in value relative to everybody else's, you should still pay the same amount to us that you did in the prior year. And so you should not see a tax increase from us. Now if you've had, you know, a huge assessment increase, obviously you'll see a tax increase from us. But proportionately, there should not be. in the past, when we've talked about being a non-home rule entity, we've always talked about levying as much as possible under the cap each year so that you don't ever lose out on growth or inflation over time. Because as a non-home rule entity, you can never adjust it 1 year if you have a big project come up. And once you adjust it downward, you have to build off of it. The perfect example, maybe for Alex's benefit, is the city of Dixon, which had the treasurer steal millions of dollars from them. After they settled with her estate and I guess their auditor and a couple other people, was flushed with cash with like $40 million, okay, on like a $8 million annual budget. So they, of course, were like, well, we're going to pay down most of our debt, you know, maybe we'll leave some of the low interest stuff out alone. And so they still had millions of dollars left over in the reserves with literally nothing to do with it. So everybody was like, hey, you should decrease property taxes. Because they're a non-home rule entity, if they would have decreased property taxes to nothing 1 year because they had all this money, the next year they would have only been able to levy like $100,000, even though their previous levy was like $2 million. So that's the same concept here. If we have $3.1 million 1 year, the next year you can only ever ask for $3.16 million.
So if we abate a percentage of it, we don't get
that you lose
back.
So, you know, you've got all these pressures with property taxes being high. You've got pressures with unfunded capital projects, long-term needs that we have. You know, inflation is low. New construction is starting to pick up. So if you were to take our ultimate recommendation 2 months from now and approve a levy amount of $3.16 million, really you're only losing out on an additional $65,000 is what our estimate is. So that would be, I think we had estimated like a 2 or 3% increase for residents in their levy from year to year. So, but that's one recommendation, is to just say new construction only, lose out on 65 grand, and then maybe the next year it's we do new construction plus inflation. So the recommendation right now, though, is to just set that levy estimate as high as possible. I think it represents a 7% increase or something like that from year to year. And so we'll do the public hearing, hear everybody out, and then make a decision as to what we're doing long term after that. So that's comments. Exhibit A within the agreement.
Any comments or questions on this?
I'll say, I agree with trying to see what we can capture, but my preference would be to only capture the new construction. I've never really bought into the grab it because you can philosophy. I'm more of the lines, take what you need and use it. So I'm in line with just taking the new construction, something that's not been on before. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I'd say the same.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Maybe we can change it the next year.
Definitely.
So.
Yep. So if you're okay with the recommendation, Exhibit A is it's a $3.3 million. So it is a 7% increase. So the public hearing notice is going to say, like, you know, 7% increase and, you know, come up to the public hearing. We always do a little presentation saying this is what we're trying to do and that our recommendation might be much lower. But that is our recommendation, is to give us the flexibility to be able to back that down to a later date.
Because we cannot go up on it.
Right, yep. If for some reason new construction comes in at a much higher dollar amount, you wouldn't want to do the public hearing and then have to do it again because, you know.
New construction, what's considered new construction? Can you, anything in that year?
Yeah.
Okay.
So new homes has been our primary driver, Wrigley, I think, is on the tax rolls this time around, although we're trying to figure out how to do the abatement by the end of the year for the Skittles factory.
Expansion. So.
Anything that's come on and is past their construction window.
Yep.
Is there some, is it 3 or 4 years?
I believe it's for the first full year that it's in operation, it hits the tax rolls in full. I don't know that there's a roll-in. Yeah. If it's partial, I think they try to prorate it.
I'm thinking homeowner new or additions, renovation type thing. That's 3 or 4 years.
It's a 3 year rolling average. Yes.
Yeah, 3 year rolling average.
Sounds good.
Okay.
So you want to move that on to city council? I would say the full agenda.
I think we've done it on consent in the past.
Do it on consent, and if somebody wants to pull off.
And we are doing the library separate.
That's our recommendation, yes.
Absolutely.
We know that they're coming to us for a request for more money. I had a good meeting with them last week.
Yeah, it was
week.
On Facebook.
We're doing a lot of other things. You know, I will say that the request hasn't changed from their end. They're more willing to accommodate us, but they still look at it as they need money, they need books, they need services. They're willing to engage us in providing details as to what we're receiving for any additional contribution. But honestly, I would expect the conversation to be similar to the past 10
years. What's their ask? Generally, you know, the percentage, if you have one.
They did not give us a specific ask. I know that their budget deficit is $80,000. How tight that is an estimate, I'm not aware. And that's something we'll dive into this time. And frankly, we have a director that's willing to dive into it with us to talk about it.
They're probably going to ask for the deficit plus positive revenue, right?
I would assume so.
You know, the levy would give them additional revenue, but they're going to want more than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, they are recommending some service delivery, or will be recommending some service delivery changes. Nothing large in my mind, but little ways to save money here and there and to generate revenue. So she talked pretty positively about sponsorships and trying to partner with Parks and Recreation during events to like bring in extra money. So that's not going to be $80,000 worth, but could be a dent. We'll see.
Okay.
And we have not reached that topic with them yet. They have not had their meeting where they've adopted their tax levy yet, as far as I'm aware. Whatever they come in at, we'll see what happens during the ordinance. So, and whatever they adopt is what it ends up being. So.
Okay. So we're good with that one?
No problem.
Oh, Johnny.
So let's go to old business. Admin 2017-70, the building condition survey results.
So Carla wasn't at the meeting last night, neither was Alex, but Jackie and Joe and Chris have all heard this before, although we didn't do the actual presentation because the meeting
was
a little hectic. So yeah, we'll do abbreviated in some spots, and some of it will be a rehash. So. I'll get the focus.
Okay. So looking at the breakdown of the buildings, we presented a overview of the entire facilities review at the last meeting. And we were asked as staff to bring back a presentation and kind of walking council through how to read the report. And in doing that, we took the kind of one of the lowest ranking FCI building and one of a really good FCI ranked buildings. So in doing this, we'll walk you through the process. So how to read the report. We stuck with a pretty easygoing one. The park shelter at Riverfront Park the park pavilion there with the steps going up to it. The second and third page of the report outline the immediate repairs that need to be done on the facility. So in this case, the pavilion shows stairs and pavement repair at a total cost of $78, which is a repair of loose and missing stones from the stairs walking up to the actual pavilion structure. Here it outlines the number ID for more detail later on in the report if you want to reference that. And it also outlines pictures of the area reviewed in Appendix A. And the next page of the report is the replacement reserve report. It's the outlook for the next 20 years of items that need to be repaired in the facility or the structure. This is the data that will ultimately be uploaded to the database. That staff would have access to that we can modify and update as we do repairs and replacements in the facilities that the city owns. So this facility shows concrete and paver replacements and paint over the next 20 years. So not too much, I definitely cost that we can handle. It outlines quantities, square footage, unit costs, and this is all derived from a lot of RS Means, which is a construction construction booklet of idealistic costs of real life, and then they extended it out so many years. The executive summary, which is in the document itself, goes over the general property information, the site visit date, the point of contact, and then the overall building condition. In this case, the pavilion is in good condition. And then here's the nuts and bolts of what staff is really diving into, which is the facility condition index. So this is an indication of the building's overall condition. It's measured for the current year and also for 10 years. The current year is a ratio of the immediate repair costs compared to the current replacement value. The 10-year FCI is the ratio of anticipated capital reserve needs to the 10-year replacement value of the facility. The ratings range from very poor to good, and it's all located in the table on the lower half of the report. So for Riverfront Park Pavilion, the metric for the FCI was good. The actual calculation, the ratio was 0% for the current replacement value to the immediate repair costs. And then the 10-year FCI was also good, and that is the ratio of the replacement reserves to the current replacement value. The total capital needs through 2027 is 1,556, and then the current replacement value for the actual facility is at $91,620. So this really shows us that we have a good sound structure, the metric ranking is good for us, and that there's going to be very little capital cost up front for the next 20 years. Also included within these reports are photographs, site plans, aerials. It goes through the ADA checklist. Some ADA components were included within the needs and the repairs costs. Some are not. And then the overall report has a FCI of good. So we will continue to do the minor repairs in the next 20 years that are outlined, and we will update it once in the database. Does anybody have any questions about Riverfront Park Pavilion? Okay, moving along to Van Emmon. So it's currently being used as an activity center, fitness center for Parks and Rec. You might choke on this number. The total immediate repair cost is $1.5 million. The detail is on page 2 and 3 of the report. Some of the higher costs are the parking lot that was recently repaired after the site visit was complete. We also included a lot of the sub base of the parking lot, which we weren't originally intending to do, but it was in need when we got in there. The ground below it was saturated, so we went ahead and made the ground stable in order to put the asphalt on top of it. The elevator repair is also one of the higher dollar amounts, electric work, sprinkler system, and then structural work throughout the facility. The total deficiency repair estimate through 2037 is over $2.5 million. Covers page 4 and 5 of the actual report. The costly items include the sump pump, parking lot once again will need to be replaced, elevator, electrical, sprinkler, and structural over the term of the next 20 years. So in the current year metric, we have a very poor FCI ranking, and then the 10-year is poor if we continue to do the updates that they are recommending. So the total capital needs through 2027 is $1.8 million, where the current replacement value of the facility itself is $1.1 million. These are, then from that, we went on and thought, how could we give council a recommendation of all the facilities all at once, or if you want to take them and break them down? So we took the top 10 facilities that we use every day and that we are expecting to use over the next 20 years. And staff evaluated the reports, and we put our recommendations into this presentation and into the memo. A couple of them staff had differing opinions on. So we are looking at the council for a little bit more information or discussion upon that at a later date. So in just going through the next 10 facilities on a very high level, we're looking at the Beecher Center, which is 908 Game Farm Road. The current immediate repairs are at $48,000. The replacement reserves show that we need to have $1.8 million to do the repairs. The current year FCI is good. The 10-year FCI is very poor. And the recommendation from staff is that we continue to maintain this building. The largest expenses in the future will be the parking lot, the HVAC, and electrical upgrades to the system. The next building is 201 West Hydraulic, the building we call as the ARC building, which houses Parks and Recreation and the preschool. The immediate repairs shows at $51,805. The current year FCI is poor. The 10-year FCI is very poor. Even though that the FCI ranking isn't the best, staff recommended that we continue to maintain this building because it is within a TIF district and we can use the TIF funds to improve upon the building. So the total capital needs is $277,000 and the immediate repairs is $51,000, which we can start chipping away at over the next couple of years. Public Works facility at Tower Lane. This is our main Public Works campus right around the corner here. The total immediate repairs for this building is at $107,000. And the current year FCI is fair and the 10-year FCI is poor. The recommendation from staff is not to maintain this building. We see it as a large expense, especially within the next 4 to 5 years for the repairs that are needed. And we recommend looking at a larger study of what we can do to plan for a Public Works campus holistically in the future. 102 East Van Emmon, we just talked about this in detail. Staff's recommendation is to not to continue to maintain this building. We agree that it can be used in an interim basis by Parks and Recreation, and staff will continue to maintain the building so that it is a usable building. But even though the repairs are TIF eligible, construction of a new building is not TIF eligible. So that's also something we would like to look at in a larger planning exercise where we see the need of this campus as a whole in the future in the downtown area. Library, 902 Game Farm Road. The current year FCI is good, the 10-year FCI is poor, and the immediate repairs are minimal at $1,500. The recommendation from staff on this is continue to maintain. The 10-year is a very high expense, but the building is in good condition and staff feels that the maintenance on it is relatively easy to continue to do. City Hall and the police station where we're at right now, 800 Game Farm Road. The immediate repairs to this building is just over $200,000. The current year FCI ranking is fair and the 10-year FCI ranking is poor. We are requesting further direction from City Council on this building because we do see this building ultimately not being a City Hall or a police station. So we would like to explore other entities that are looking at this location for a larger campus facility in the future as well. 131 East Hydraulic. This is along the riverfront where the ice cream shop and Ginger and Soul is located. The immediate repairs for this building is at $21,000. The current year FCI is fair and the 10-year FCI is poor. And once again, we are looking for further direction from the City Council. And this was stated earlier, this is within a TIF district. Repairs, of course, are included in the TIF eligible repair costs, but new construction is not TIF eligible. And with the vision and the work that we are doing in the riverfront, anything that we do along here, we want to make sure fits the overall vision of this area and the downtown for the future. 609 North Bridge, this kind of goes along with the Tower Lane project. This is the property that we acquired last year. It's a residential home along Route 47. The immediate repairs are just at $450,000. The current year FCI is poor. The 10-year FCI is also poor. Staff is recommending not to maintain this facility. We would like to look at this in conjunction with the Tower Lane property to make sure that we are planning for a Public Works campus in the future that meets our needs. The historic jail at 111 West Madison, the immediate repairs on this building was at 131. The current year FCI is poor, but the 10-year FCI is good if we get it back up to where the repairs are made and the structure is aligned in its original integrity. But the recommendation for this is to look at this with further direction from City Council. We do see that we don't have an immediate planned use for this building. It is not being used currently, but we see the potential for a partnership opportunity in the future for somebody to use this historic structure. The parks facility at 185 Wolf Street in the industrial park on the south side of town. This is where our park staff are housed. The immediate repairs for this building is at just over 100,000. The current year FCI is fair, and the 10-year FCI is good. We are recommending to continue to maintain this building. It is it's a newer building. It's in relatively good shape, and our staff does see benefit in being in this location in the long run. Does anybody have any questions regarding the reports and the information that I just reviewed?
So last night's discussion ended with an absorption. Yeah, and then they moved on. I know that I talked to Cedar yesterday prior to the meeting. He was supposed to be there and he's on vacation. And he had expressed that when he worked at the college and they had a much larger portfolio of the budget, that they would say, it's not as black and white as how we've got it. It's, you prioritize buildings within the fleet based on your own preferences and the quality of the buildings, and then you kind of say, well, life safety issues are always first and foremost, so it doesn't really matter what building it's on, you do life safety issues. And then if there's other things, you kind of slot it into the priority. So this was really just in an effort to start the discussion to say, like, does anybody definitely want to get rid of a building or explore it through the municipal facilities master plan? Or, are you okay as things continue to come up with the building that, they're going to generally be approved to the extent that they can be funded?
Comments, questions?
It's a lot of information.
Yeah, part of you said it. The one thing that in their longer term is look at the municipal building needs, mm-hmm. start to pair these things together, figure out what we need, what we don't need, consolidate or get rid of those types of buildings. That'll help us, especially with our planning for future. I know we have immediate needs, we've got to take care of them. But things like, not Tower Lane, but 609?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
609. I'd like to see us go out for RFP for salvage and demolition.
Really?
I mean, we know the shed at least needs to go.
Yeah.
The house, whether they can use it in the interim, but it's been very clear that the shed needs to go.
Right.
Because it's non-functional for us. So if we have no intent, somebody's going to come in and demo for us if they have any salvage value on historical lumber mm-hmm. products, windows. Take it, give us 10%.
Yeah, I'm okay with
it's
that.
Better off than what we have now.
So, somebody will come get it.
Exactly.
I've done it.
So that kind of thing. And, consider, do we want to do a salvage rates on the old historic chip? I'm surprised that number's so low at $131,000 for repairs.
It's a bit of a Pandora's box.
Yeah.
We had brought that up after they had reviewed it in that, they kind of just said, well, $25,000 should go to the structural, integrity study of the newer part of the building, which is the one that's rotted away. And so that $25,000 study may turn into a $100,000 study, which may turn into a, multi-$100,000 demolition cost. To preserve the historical part of the building. So that one is...
That's just to bring it to a fair condition. That's not
yeah.
to
correct.
Make it safe,
no.
safe, good, functional
yeah.
building.
Yep.
That's just to make
that's
it...
That's to preserve the integrity of the
yeah.
building.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, by what I saw, wouldn't be remove the old part or
the new
garage so that
yeah.
we can take it to historical... the historical.
But then if you
place.
Do that, you can also go... That's part of what I tried to get it, if I believe, years ago as a historical building.
Mm-hmm.
That would have had to go. They won't even look at it with that attached
right.
to the building. So, to see, I don't know if there's funding that way, but I know that Joyce Barrett years ago was into that when they did the jail, and they would look at it.
Because it had been adopted.
Yeah, if that comes off,
yep.
And you get it back to them, maybe there's, I don't know what we're doing with it.
Yeah, I think kind of what we're seeing here from the staff level assessments of do the minimal, push things off, I think that's a great way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The receiver is a good person to lean to on these because he's done this. He's got a great insight on it, especially with the software. But I think if we can go through a few of these a month or 10 of them a month, mm-hmm. we'll get through the list and
then go from there.
Yeah, I think if we can budget it, we do the immediate needs, the life safety, and if there's anything else that's able to be done in budget.
Do you want a deeper dive than what we had shown at 102 East Van Emmon, or you want us to just plug that in for some of the other buildings? Because we did list some of the issues, the costs, and then the narratives get a little bit more detailed than what was shown on the slide, but not much. So maybe it's just a matter of seeing it, absorbing it, and then kind of retaining that knowledge for future sessions.
So we're going to touch back on 102 East, is that what you mean?
Well, the committee had recommended yesterday to do 3 to 4 studies per
well,
month,
let's keep it together, I guess.
Okay.
Manageable.
Well, whatever you do there, bring
do
you
here.
Know.
Sure, I do
okay.
think
say, I mean, doesn't it save you work too? We're not jumping all around.
Mm-hmm.
I think 102, that'd be a good one to take a deep dive,
okay.
Look at it. When I was looking at it, some of the assumptions they're making maybe not necessarily be good assumptions.
Yeah.
And that's based on their external, opinion of what we should do with the building.
Sure.
So maybe there's some ways to cut some things and, get a better idea of what can be done in the short term and maybe drop that number, and
mm-hmm.
there might be some better numbers in there if we start looking at it a little more closely.
Yep.
For immediate uses, so I'd like to see a little more detail on that one.
So if you want to do that one, maybe?
Yeah.
Next, and then some other ones?
Mm-hmm.
Balance it again?
Mm-hmm.
Make that our worst.
Yes, one thing I noticed, we have things like the shelters, like Kiwanis Park
mm-hmm.
has a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
But Animal Ridge shelter is not included.
Hmm.
So there are things like that. We have certain smaller pieces. And forget about playground equipment itself. We're talking shelters.
Sure.
I noticed that some of those were not included.
More than one?
I haven't been able to go through each of every one because we have a lot of parks. I haven't done it on each one.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe they missed it or if Tim provided a different list, like maybe he didn't think that one needed to be hit for whatever reason. We'll check on that, though.
I just know we've got a lot of stuff up there, so it's very easy that I could have one or two missed like that. So.
Does that help?
Yeah,
or
it does.
Kind of like dumb.
No, it does.
It does.
It's like so much.
Yep.
So, okay. Well, then, do we have any other additional business? So we're good. So let's adjourn this meeting at 6:43. Thank you, everybody.